My name is Lisa Green Douglas, and I am this year's chair of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors, and I would like to give you your official welcome for being here this morning. We appreciate all of you coming out to our fifth annual Johnson County Food Policy Forum, and the title is here, Farm Connections, Farmers, the Community, and You. And this morning we have a great lineup of speakers for you, as well as the opportunity for you to interact and engage with the discussion at hand. So again, thank you for being here. The Board of Supervisors believes very strongly in working together to create a local food system that's healthy, vibrant, and sustainable. And in that regard, we created the Food Policy Council in 2012 with the charge of advising on food and agricultural issues and bringing together the community in forums such as this to seek input from the public. We were one of the first to have such a policy council, so this is really, it's pioneering and innovative, and it's been a great entity to have advising the board. So I'm going to read to you a few of the things that we've done to show our commitment to creating a local food system. Many of you know this information, and for some of you it may be new. So in 2016, we started the master planning process at the Johnson County Historic Poor Farm out on Melrose, and we've gotten public input and selected a new farm, New Century Farm concept out there. And it's a vision to create a local food system there and kind of combine it with conservation. And it brings back the historical roots of community support for mental health and healing. And the 10-year plan is rolling out nicely with vegetables being grown by Grow Johnson County and the Global Valley Food Project to support folks in need of nutritious food and community connections. New ground will be broken this year for small farmers seeking space to grow food for their community as part of the land access program. The historic poor farm will continue to grow as a public space for access to community food and community healing with the improvements of buildings on site, the additions of trails, and the collaboration with community organizations for programs and events. If you haven't been out there, take a look. I think you'll see some nice changes. And one of those great changes that I am so happy about is the wonderful sign that is out there marking it. In 2018, the Board of Supervisors adopted a Johnson County comprehensive plan that emphasizes the importance of local food and agriculture in our community, including strategic goals to support small farming operations, encourage agritourism, and to become a leader in sustainable food infrastructure. And recently, we have allocated funds through our Economic Development Block Grant to Field to Family for a food hub to aggregate products and open wholesale food markets for local farms, as well as supporting the creation and marketing of a certified local campaign. We would like to welcome you once again, and please take the opportunity to hear from our farmers in our community and discover ways to support local food and share your ideas for strengthening our local food system with members of the Food Policy Council. Thank you again for coming this morning. Christy?
Thank you, Lisa, for that welcome. And on behalf of the Food Policy Council, we want to thank all of you for choosing to spend your Saturday morning with us. Our goals for today's forum are to hear from the local food producers and how they're working to support our community-based food system. And most of all, we want to get everyone here excited about adopting local food as part of the mainstay of your diet for the health of you and for the community. As we kick off, we want to do a shout out to Michelle Kenyon for she was charged with organizing this forum. Michelle, are you here? Yay, thanks. To all 15 members of the Johnson County Food Policy Council for the work on this, if you guys want to stand up real quick. Some of them that are here, yay. And to Elsa Dewald, our council's liaison, without her, we'd be lost. So Elsa, you here. Yay. Want to thank council member Pat Hayden, who recently joined us. I don't know if Pat's here today. Yay. Thanks. We look forward to working with you on the council to help support community foods and ag. So this is a great team. So with that, I'm going to pass the microphone to Morgan Weiss, who's going to do a remembrance for Kurt, who was instrumental for support of local foods and ag in our community.
Morning, everyone. Thanks for giving me a minute or two to talk about my friend Kurt. I wrote something down. It's just kind of like a little story of Kurt and his fundamentals and what it really meant to our community and how he affected all of us. Chef Kurt Michael Fries, Supervisor Fries, author, advocate Kurt Michael Fries, a man with love and passion in his heart for the little guy. He had a weird sense of humor. And he left us far too soon in October. A cook, a writer, and a politician, he would always start off saying something along the lines of, I'm not a rocket surgeon, I'm a cook. And well, I'm not a public speaker, I'm a cook and a gardener, so bear with me. I hope you can hear his voice and see his visions and intentions in time when I'm finished here. He started out cooking. He was a guy from the East Coast who found love in the Midwest and learned his trade at NICI, the New England Culinary Institute. He started the first school garden there now, which is now the New England Culinary Gardens. He was involved with Intervale Center Farms. It was a program, farm incubator, helping new farmers get their start. He was a man who understood the importance of the diverse food system, and he wanted to learn more about the people who grew the food that he loved to transform into nutritious and delicious meals. In 92, he found himself back in Iowa City with his family working at a hotel. We could say he was drawn into the corporate system by a vague interest of the company to bring local into their hotel restaurants. Kurt chose to take on the challenge, and he found himself in the Iowa City parking lot, which held the farmer's market right outside the hotel. He would wander around, talk to the farmers, talk about their produce, talk about where it came from, what they were doing, their challenges, and he would bring their food into the restaurants, serve it as much as he could. But in the end, the hotel chain wasn't really quite into this idea. So that was the end of corporate for Kurt. He found himself at the co-op then, and then on to cooking at Lynn Street Cafe. During this time, he had started up a little business called Devotee, which sold infused oils and spices. With his wife Kim, he created Devotee, which was a combination of his children's names, Devin and Taylor. It's also a play on words of being a devotee or being passionate about something. He sparked interest with the people on how to cook food and how to cook with the products at the farmer's market using his oils, using his spices. And from here came cooking classes and more public education. When the space next door to Lynn Street Cafe opened up for rent, Devotee finally had a physical space. It became a retail shop. It became a deli. It became a carryout service. By popular demand, we put in some tables, and poof, we have a restaurant. I showed up, started working for Kurt and Kim around 2003, and stayed working with them for the next 16 years. He was the man that got my interests in wine and food and gardening, along with a little history on my own. But he was really the guy that kind of enforced everything for me. He got me to sign up for the Food Policy Council. He got me here today, and I hope that I can carry on a little bit of what he's given us. As Kurt would say, fresh just tastes better. The closer it's to your kitchen door, the fresher and better it is. He networked with the farmers to bring the products to Iowa City and the Devotee table. At the time, Devotee was the only restaurant in Iowa City serving food from our farmers. I wanted to say time's up. I rambled on. I apologize, but thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you for that. And that's kind of a hard one to follow, but I really appreciate you taking the time to remember Kurt. Someone who was really important for, I'm sure, everyone in this room in some way, and definitely for the people of Johnson County. So I'm here just to bring an update from kind of last year's forum. How many of you were here last year? Okay. Y'all look good. Times treated you well. So last year, we moderated a forum. Like you heard from Christy and Supervisor Green Douglas, we're here on the Food Policy Council to try to get input from the community that we can kind of combine with our own, you know, experiences and expertise, and then offer to the Board of Supervisors recommendations on food and ag issues. And part of that is we want to make sure that it's not just us, the 15 of us in that room, that we want to get as much input from the community as possible. And the major way we do that is through these forums. So last year, we looked at the issue of agritourism. Agritourism is really kind of anything beyond just the simple growing and selling of produce that happens on farms. It might be anything from a simple corn maze or an on-farm stand with tours up to, you know, hotels and restaurants and more involved things like that. And agritourism can be a complicated issue. There's definitely some things to think about as far as, you know, rural infrastructure and things like that. But there's also a lot of benefits to it. You know, it can be another income stream for farmers. It can bring people into closer contact with their food. And there's clearly a desire for it among people. But, you know, those challenges we can't just ignore. And so we had the forum specifically on that topic last year to get more input from the community as to what kinds of businesses people want to see, and also hear, you know, some concerns about it too. And it was a very successful one. And from that, we've been able to kind of take and form a recommendation that the Food Policy Council put forward to the Board of Supervisors and to the Planning Commission as to here's kind of some things that we think. And we came out strongly in favor of agritourism, you know, all the benefits I mentioned, that we sort of have some, you know, specific policy ideas that we don't really aren't going to go into now, but it's to try to, you know, make some of the permitting and some of the laws a little bit easier, more streamlined for farmers, but also just to encourage it generally in Johnson County. And so the reason that it was so important that we do that is that, as Supervisor Green Douglas mentioned, the Unified Development Ordinance for Johnson County, the law that oversees, you know, all planning and land use in the county, is being rewritten right now. And this isn't something that happens every day. I think the last big rewrite like this was 2002. And so, is that right? And maybe more recent. And 8. Okay. So, but it's not something that happens every year. And so, you know, what goes into this now, kind of what position the county, you know, the laws that the county writes now in agritourism, they're going to be around for a while and they're going to shape the way the county is. And so, first of all, we thank you for all of you who were here last year for your participation in that. And also just want to encourage you to keep moving forward. There's going to be more public hearings about that coming up. And a great resource for that is first to take a look at, here we have our report, which you can find, I believe, copies of back there at the registration table. They're also available online. And then also getting in touch with ILSA, our connection there, attending Food Policy Council meetings, attending some of the public forums and some of the public meetings that are happening, you know, on these subjects with the Board of Supervisors. I believe by this fall, you're hoping to August. Okay. They're hoping to have kind of the whole rewrite done. It is a massive effort. There are a lot of staff and, you know, council members and board supervisors working very hard on this. And so there's a lot going on. But, you know, if you believe in some aspect of it strongly, you know, whatever side, show up, and we're happy to help you do that. And so thank you. And we're going to, you know, similarly today, we're going to take kind of what we hear back from you today, especially the responses to the surveys that you leave there, will help us inform kind of future recommendations that we make to the Board of Supervisors. So thank you so much. And with that, I'll hand it over to Michelle, the event chair.
Hi, everyone. Oh, that works. That's great. So I'm moving over here so you can see me a little bit better. But welcome, everyone, on a beautiful, you know, Saturday morning. I couldn't have asked for better weather based on what we've had recently. And I'm so glad that we didn't have to, you know, deal with the winter madness that's been going on lately. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why you're here today and what your connection is to a community food system. What's a community food system and what isn't a community food system? So Mike's helping me out here. I'm gonna Well, hey, we're here because we all eat. We all eat. And our friend Wilson here can just walk out because we have a sun, we have rain, and we have soil, and Wilson can just go find some food. Unlike Wilson, though, we have to eat ourselves, and we have to get about 2,000 calories a day. How are we doing that? Well, the minute we think about food, and we're going to have some good food for you later, too, we need to think about where to find it, and where does our food come from? And that actual question, where does that food come from, is actually pretty complex and a little bit loaded. So we're going to dive right in. Oh, actually, sorry. Food system, just a basic definition as the travel, how your food travels from the field to your fork. And everything in between and all the inputs and outputs that are generated from that. It's huge. It's very complex. But it's very simple to understand. If you look at Iowa, we don't have a lot of recent studies on this, but the most recent shows that we import 80% of our food into the state. That generally, food travels about 1,500 miles to get to our plate. That we grow a lot of food here, but we don't eat a lot of our own food. And then, of course, we're part of a global food system. Our global food system produces enough food to feed every human on our planet. That's what they say. And I believe that's true. We produce a lot of food. The issue is that we're not getting the food where it's needed. We have a distribution issue. It's inequitable. There are 1 in 9 people on this planet that are not getting enough food for a nutritious diet. In Johnson County alone, it's almost 14% of food insecurity rate, just here. We're not getting it everywhere. Prices change quickly. A farmer can lose a contract with a distributor by 1 penny a pound. It's tight. Families trying to go to the store. Things change constantly. We, as a nation, waste about 40% of our food before it gets consumed. Now, if you look at the planet, it's more like 30%. So we're not being a good steward there. We grow a lot of food that we don't eat. We put it into fuel. Land ownership is becoming more consolidated. Centralized control of our food supply. Seed companies are owned by 4 major companies primarily. We have major population growth coming. A lot of this is things that you've heard of that we have issues to deal with as a population. But that's not primarily why I'm here today to talk to you about. I'm here to talk to you about what a community-based food system is. It helps to know what a non-one is, but this is a food system that's interconnected, where all the different sectors actually collaborate and work together to feed a population. And when we're talking about this, we're talking about, I don't even remember what's next. Oh yeah, it's so pretty, isn't it? So clean and healthy, and it benefits everyone. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about when we grow food. We have farmers growing food. Are they treating the land well? Our water, our air, our soil can all benefit from growing food. When we're taking that food and putting it in and processing it, you know, what are all the inputs and outputs? Is it something that generates job for the economy? Is it something that we can be proud of as a region? When we look at distributing the food, right now we have a lot of food that comes from outside of here, and it comes from large distributors. Are those distributors working with local sources? These are all the issues that we think about when we think of community food systems. Of course, I'm not going to read all this. It is a complex system. It has many different sectors. Cooking is a part of that. When you go to the store, do you buy fresh? Do you buy whole? Do you buy processed foods? Most of us buy all of that. We all have our different preferences, and we make it work within our own kitchen and our own family. Promotion and marketing. How are the grocery stores marketing these foods? What do you see when you walk into the store? Do you see donuts or do you see broccoli? Yeah. These are just things that are part of our system, and they're things to think about when you are hungry and when you eat and get your 3 meals in a day. Food waste, another thing. Closed loop food waste is part of community. How is that food waste? Food waste is energy. How are we replenishing that and putting that back into our community in a positive way? And so a lot of people have heard a little bit about community food systems in different parts. This is an image that really gets to why we're here today. If you look at the beginning, yes, we all grow food. We do grow food, and not we all. Thank goodness there are people who grow food, so I don't have to. But there are people who grow food, and then they take it, and then they grow our meat, and they grow our fish, and they get it, they distribute it, they make sure it's safe, there's the processing, all this stuff. But look at where it ends. It ends at a public governmental entity. If you look at our current food system, it's made up of a very complex set of policies, regulations, and laws that perpetuate whatever those laws and regulations want to perpetuate. So that's why we're here. This is why it's important for the Food Policy Council to get perspective and ideas from the public. What kind of food system do we want to perpetuate? And so that's just to give you some context, and Lisa talked about this as well. The Food Policy Council was formed so that we can work to perpetuate these types of a community-based food system through laws and regulation. And so the Food Policy Council was formed. And then just last year, in the last 2 years, we've seen some major progress with the Board of Supervisors. They have made community-based food systems a priority. In the strategic plan, it's right there. In the 10-year comprehensive plan, there's language in there that supports a community-based food system. This is very unique. This is not typical for any county, typically in the nation. Iowa, we might have, Eric, do we have another county that has put this? No. So we are a leader in this area, is what I'm basically trying to say. So what Eric said, there are things that are moving right now. Right now, with the comprehensive plan being adopted, now we're moving forward and putting those words into action, into actual county uniform development code, which probably needs a new name, Uniform Development Code, UDO. Basically, the UDA will help define what our food system is in Johnson County. It has already, and it will perpetuate that. Like I said, we are already part of a system that's regulated internationally and nationally and by the state in many ways. But there are some things that can be done here locally and have been done here locally that will create inroads towards a community food system here, a stronger one. And why? Well, the benefits are vast. There's more than just here. One of the things that's not on here is the social benefits. You really connect with the quote that Morgan had up from Kurt, we really connect with the farmer who grows your food. It's important in our system. So the challenge is that we need to make it easier for me as an eater when I go out to eat to access a community-based food system. It's really easy for me to access a system that has imported lots of food that comes from far away. It takes effort for me to find the food I need that was produced here for many reasons. Sometimes you might purchase something you had no idea was even actually produced here. I'm surprised all the time to hear from farmers, I've sold my meat to this restaurant for a year, and they're spreading it out, and I had no idea I was eating local meat. So there's a lot of complex issues when it comes to finding and accessing that community food system on the back end and the front end. And that brings me to what our food hub, Lisa had mentioned that. We recently received funding to start a local food hub. The part of the challenge to accessing a local food system is because a lot of the choices are made before you even walk into your cafeteria. A lot of choices are made before you walk into that school to eat. The nutrition directors, the chefs, they're all making decisions on where their food comes from, and then you're in there and you have to choose what you're going to eat based on their decisions. A food hub is essential. The USDA has an actual definition for it, which I was going to read. But I've gone way far ahead of my notes. But it's source-identified food, distributed or housed. It's housed and distributed to institutions, hospitals, like universities, like public schools, places where people eat a lot of food. Our effort, we're getting launched here when the growing season gets moving, is a collaborative effort. It's a nonprofit effort. It's something we're working both with farmers and institutions on. We're very thankful for the support from the Johnson County Board of Supervisors. And we are also partnering with Table to Table, University of Iowa, Iowa Valley RC&D has been a great help with their statewide initiative to support food hubs in the state of Iowa. Generally, the goal is to grow Iowa foods, get more Iowa foods to Iowans. And of course, it takes community education to do that. And that's something that the Board of Supervisors recognizes and understands that that's important. So with a certified local label and other local food promotion to go a part of the food hub, it's essential for a partnership there. Not everyone thinks about where their food comes from as much as we do. So these funds will help with that effort. Oh, my. So just to say that we start at home and we think about what our family wants. We think about what we might want, what our preferences are. We all have different wants. It's really hard for me and my family to find one restaurant to go to that we all love, that we're all excited about. There's one, actually. And we love that. But, you know, we all like different things. You know, both of those are fresh and local. So, hey. But generally, it's not that easy to go find fresh and local for us, right? So we have to deal with all these things. You know, personal preference of everybody that you're cooking for. Do you know how to cook? Do you know how to cook these things? Is it better to get it frozen? Because it's really, I'm going fast. So yeah, is it better to get it frozen or fresh? Where do you eat it? Do you eat it at home together? Do you eat it out on the picnic? Do you eat it at a restaurant? You can keep going, Michael. And then, but in general, you know, when you go, you're looking for food where you're at. Your choices are made for you. You're at the cafeteria. You live in a dorm. You know, you are at the hospital visiting a friend. You are looking for an access, an inroad into a community food system. And so we're hoping to make inroads with that with our food hub. But in the meantime, we are asking you and to create your connection to the community food system by realizing where you go, there is something to look for. Seasonal menus, local food, seasonal food. I mean, just even knowing what's in season is important. Meat, dairy, produce, eggs. I don't know. I thought I took salsa out there. You can't grow salsa, actually. But many of the ingredients can be grown by farmers. You can keep going. Oh, yeah, so this is great. Actually, the table at Iowa Valley RC&D, they have these available for you to take home and put on your fridge. This is a great guide. This helps you decide what's fresh, what's available. And that's just another thing, when you walk into the cafeteria today and you see a tomato, you're going to know that's not local and fresh tomato, I hope. If you see sweet corn today, it probably wasn't grown in Iowa. These are just things you learn as you go around and eat and meet farmers and go to the farmer's market. So here we are. We're about to have lunch today from Local Burrito. We have a menu. And I don't know if that's clear enough, but we definitely have connections to our community food system through this menu. We see names of farmers, individuals. We see names of farms. And so we have dairy. We have cabbage that's held over. We have sweet potatoes that have held over. The tofu from Old Capital Foods purchased, the soybeans are purchased here in this region. Our local black beans, we have the farmer in that room, Jason Grimm. He grew those beans, and we're going to eat them today. This was available to us to call in Johnson County, and it's a direct connection to our food system. Go ahead. And also, another tool that we're releasing is our local food guide. It'll come out next month in Little Village. It'll list farmers where to find their food. It'll list food businesses and where to find their food in our region. It will change, so we have an online version as well, so that we can keep those listings updated. But this is something that we're hoping to help the community connect with our local farmers better. In general, you know, after all that, we're asking you as the Food Policy Council, we're asking you as citizens to invest 10% more of your food dollars towards local food, towards your community. That's one of the things you'll be asked about on your survey. We feel that really, when it comes down to it, we have choices every day in some areas, so we can choose to invest. We also have a choice on who we vote for and how we speak out, because that also sets our system apart. Our community food system is built up of policy and laws and regulation. And there was one more thing I wanted to say. I've been doing this for a long time, local foods and promoting local foods. And I expected things will grow. Things will grow. That number of Iowa importing 80% would be reduced. I expected more and more people to eat local. And I think that more and more people are eating local, but we're getting more and more people in general. And then also, just in the past couple years, our international laws for importing fruits and vegetables have been relaxed in a major way. And it's actually increased how many fruit and vegetables we actually import into this nation. So, you know, we're really asking you to step up, because we're fighting this surge that's coming in. And the more that we choose as eaters to support community food systems, the more that food system will exist for you and the stronger it will be. So who's with me? Who's going to sign the pledge? We're going to do it. Yes. Great.